And I hope you let the Word of God change you while you're young and formative and teachable and open. You let the Word of God change your views on money. And I hope that every one of you young men will rise up and seek the kingdom of God and build God's kingdom and be like the Apostle Paul, who made tents. Amen, he did. But he didn't build the biggest tent-making business in Ephesus, young men. That was not his goal, was it? The means to an end, to preach the gospel. I hope you'll look at it that way, young men. Number three. The third confession of otherworldliness. I will join myself to other disciples. I will join myself to other disciples. I'd like us to turn to John chapter 13 for a reading there. Precious verses in John 13. Just turn there quickly. John 13, 34 and 35. This is in the beginning of one long sermon. John 13, 14, 15, 16, and the prayer is John 17 at the end of the sermon. But in the middle of that sermon, Jesus says these words to His disciples. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now Jesus is giving a definition of the new commandment. This is the new commandment of love in the New Testament. I mentioned it earlier this week, but here He's giving the definition of it. The new love, the new definition of love is that we are to love one another in the way that He loved. And Jesus went to the cross and laid down His life for you and I. That's the new commandment. And Jesus is saying to His disciples here, this is one of the ways that the world will know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Now we could have surely put this category under the disciple and his neighbors. But this is a closer relationship. This one is closer. Your neighbor, he just lives next door to you. Your neighbor, that's the guy you may witness to out on the street corner. Your neighbor may be those people that you deal with over there in Africa on a missionary trip. But now we're talking about brothers and sisters, fellow disciples. Jesus joined His disciples together in a communion of believers. All the days that He was there discipling those men, He was connecting them together, wasn't He? Most of the time they were together. He did that on purpose. They call it koinonia in the New Testament. That close, intimate fellowship, young people. The Bible calls us, the disciples of Jesus Christ, the Bible calls us the church. You'll find that word, Jesus spoke it in Matthew chapter 16 when He said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You find it again in Matthew 18, but that's the only two places you'll find it until you get to the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, it says, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. And from there on, you see it, church, 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 all the way through Acts, and all the way through the epistles. That word church in the Greek is ekklesia. That Greek word means the called out ones. We are the called out ones, but we are not just the called out one. Amen? There's a difference between being a called out one and being the called out one. We are the called out one, young people. We are the church, the ecclesia, called out of the world, yes, but called into a fellowship of believers. This is one of the most powerful, all-inclusive principle in the New Testament. Surely we don't want to miss this one. We don't want to miss it. I will join myself to other disciples. We are a called out group of believers who have been called into a brotherhood. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our elder brother. Now the mystery of the church, Paul uses that term many times, the mystery of the church. The mystery of the called out one, the mystery of the called in one. Called out of the world, called into fellowship. Paul calls it the manifold wisdom of God. Many-folded wisdom of God is the ecclesia, young people. That means there are dozens of beautiful principles that are hidden in that word ecclesia. It is not good to be alone, young people. I know there are many troubling circumstances, and even as I stand here and you sit and listen, some of you don't know what to do. I know that. Some of you don't know where to go to church. I know that's so. Some of you, your moms and dads visited 20 churches and finally gave up, and they're sitting at home, and Sunday morning they say a prayer and push a button and listen to a cassette, and I know that, and I understand all those things, but I'm telling you, I need to tell you the truth anyway. I want to be very careful and sensitive, yet I must tell you the truth. This is a week-long subject, and I'm taking 10 minutes on it. But I want you to know, young people, that one of the marks of a true disciple is they join themselves to the other disciples. It is not good to be alone. I believe that God can keep you when you're alone. I believe that God can come in and protect you, but I don't believe you can be alone for year after year after year. You are missing something. And it's not a little something, young people. Now, I know you all here, you have fathers and mothers. Your fathers and mothers have to deal with all of this. I understand that while I'm saying this, but still I want to tell you that God's heart is that you be connected with other disciples. There's so much that is missed when you are alone. Like all of God's wisdom and principles, there are hidden blessings, and they are many-folded hidden blessings that you don't even realize you are missing because you are not getting them. You don't realize you're missing them until all of a sudden you find yourself connected with a body of believers. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh my, how much grace I was missing. And my life is blessed and I'm prospering and I'm growing in ways that I never did before. I'm seeing needs in my life that I never saw when I was sitting there all by myself like a monk on the top of a mountain. There are 17 one another's in the New Testament. I don't want you to miss all 17 of those blessings. You can't do them when you're by yourself, young people. And those one another's are not relating to a world around you. That's talking about one anothering among the believers, the fellow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be one anothering all the time. It's beautiful. The manifold wisdom of God. How can we keep the new commandment if we are all by ourselves? We can't do it. And there is a big difference between relating lightly and briefly in the world around us and relating closely and for many years with brothers and sisters. There's a big difference. You know what I mean? When you start relating for years with brothers and sisters, they learn to know you, and you learn to know them. And guess what? We're not so hot. We have needs. We have flat spots. There are things where we need to see and grow in. God needs to sanctify us more and more. Well, when you start dwelling together with believers for a couple of years, all of a sudden, it looks a bit different. And God can work in your life if you will let Him. God, Christ, has joined us in the body and left us in the world. He has joined us together in a body, one body, and left us in the world to be a testimony, to be a city that is set on a hill, to be the manifestation of Christ in the community where we live. That can't be done by one. It must be done by a body, young people. By a body. Well, enough said on that. Lastly, and surely not the least, but the most, the fourth confession and the last confession of these sessions, I will abide in Jesus Christ continually. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, and I will abide in Jesus Christ continually. This is what I call the other half of the doctrine of separation, young people. This is the other half. Yes, we are separated from the world. We are to separate ourselves from the world. But young people, we are not just to separate ourselves from the world. We are to be separated unto God. That's the other half of separation, amen. And it makes the whole thing make sense. I mean, there's so many mixed up, confusing ideas about this. I mean, some people, they think, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to put this on, and I'm going to grow some of this, and I'm going to put some black shoes on, and I'm going to walk around out that world out there, and I'm separated from the world. No, you're not! If you're not separated into God, you're just as much a part of the world as you were if you had long hair and red shoes on. You're just as much a part of the world if you're not separated unto the God who saved you. You want to be otherworldly? You need to be connected to the spirit of the other world. Amen. That's the only way I know to be otherworldly. I will abide in Jesus Christ continually, separated from the world and separated unto God. John chapter 13 through 17, you'll notice that Jesus, maybe John already told you this, but Jesus shifted his teachings of his disciples in John chapter 13 because he realized it's about time for me to pass out of this world. And these disciples need to know a few deeper things. Because I want to continue this master-disciple relationship with my disciples, I'm going to have to teach them a few of the deeper inner things because I am going back to my Father. And so the teaching shifted because he knew that his hour had come. And the master-learner relationship changes to the voice of the Spirit of God in the inner man. And Jesus knew that they must learn how this relationship will continue. And that's why he began to speak to them in chapter 14 and 15 and 16 about the Spirit of God and the Comforter and all of those things and continuing with us. And he spoke to them about fellowship. The Father and I will come. We'll manifest ourselves unto you. We'll make our abode with you. Beautiful words, very different than what they heard up until then. But truly, a disciple of Jesus Christ must learn this lesson because our Lord Jesus is not here. You cannot see Him anymore. You can't run up to Him and ask Him. You can't go to Him when you need bread. He's not there. You can't walk up to him and say, Lord, here's a man who's in trouble. Would you do something about it? You can't do that anymore. You can't see him. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to learn what it means to be a New Testament disciple after Jesus has gone to the cross, went to the grave, went through the resurrection, and ascended up to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and poured out His Holy Spirit upon the church. How does all that work? Jesus speaks of that in John 15. He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. In verse 4, He says, abide in me. Abide in me. And I in you. Let me abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now that word abide means this, young people. It means to be vitally connected with God. That's what the word abide means. Just like the vine and the branch, that branch is vitally connected to the vine. The sap runs up from the roots of the vine, up through the vine, and every branch that is vitally connected to that vine, the sap just keeps running right into that branch, and it makes its way down the lines of the branch, and it pushes out fruit here and there along the branch. That's what the Christian life is all about, young people. That's how you live the Christian life. You can't do it on your own. So to abide means to be vitally connected with God. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, beautiful. Much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Young people, you can do nothing. 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 If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And that's a sad story, and I hope that doesn't happen to anybody that's in this room today. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. There it is. There's that word. How will you be my disciple? If you abide vitally connected in me, then that will bring forth much beautiful fruit in your life, and that will make you my disciple. That's what Jesus is saying. This is how the whole of all that I have taught you all week long is made real, young people. If you miss this point, then you just got a new order, and that's all you got out of me. Was a new order, a strict, rigid, tough life to live. But if you get this last point, you didn't get a new order. You got a new life. And there's a big difference between the two of them. And I want you to have a new life. I want you to have an abundant life. I want you to have a fruitful life. I want you to have a vibrant life. So you must get this point. You must learn to walk with God. Young people, you must learn to walk filled with the spirit of another world. You must learn it. And you may not learn it overnight, but I want you to somehow, that you get it in your soul that you're not going to be satisfied until you learn it. This will make you otherworldly. You say, well, how do I know if I'm vitally connected? Good question. Well, heaven is open. I think I'm right to say there's a whole lot of you sitting in this room this morning. You know right now as you sit here, you are vitally connected. Because you've been taking a bath all week long. And some of you were born again. And you've been dealing with issues in your life. And you've been singing and you've been worshiping God and you've been examining your heart and all those things. And you know as you sit here, I am vitally connected with God. When it's time to pray, prayer is just a breath away. When I read my Bible, it just looks beautiful. It's alive. I see things in there. When I see somebody who has a need, my heart goes out to them and I'm right over there to minister to them. When I sit across somebody at the table, it's easy to talk to them. My tongue has been loosed. You know, as you sit here, I am vitally connected with God. And oh, that's wonderful. That's what we want. That's what we've been wanting. That's what we've been praying for. That's what we've been preaching about. Heaven is open. The conscience, it's clear. It's clear. Like Brother Gerard said last night, oh, it's so good to just be so clean. Is that your testimony? Amen. You're clear. You're clean. Your conscience is. There's a sense of God's presence and acceptance in your life. So how do you abide? Well, when you do something wrong, young people, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. Oh, it's such a joy to me. You know, you get in tune with the Lord, and all of a sudden your conscience is sensitive. People have come up to me and said, Brother Denny, I did this or I said that, and my heart wasn't right, and I was wanting to draw attention to myself. You know, where did they get that? They have a sensitive heart. See? When your heart is clear, your conscience is sensitive to the promptings of God. When you do something wrong, the Spirit of God will prick your heart. And if you're smart, you'll go get it right, right away. You'll go get it right. At that point, you have two choices. You can quickly repent and get washed in the blood of Jesus, or you can leave that blot on your conscience and prepare for some more blocks. Right? Now maybe you've seen it before, but you can look at it again because you haven't been doing it very well. When we go from this place, so beautifully blessed by God, and heaven is open over our life, and our conscience is clear, when you do something wrong, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. All of a sudden, there will come a cloud over you. You, maybe at first, you won't know quite what it is, but you will sense that something is not the same. There will come a cloud over your life. You'll go on out through life just like normal, but there'll just be something different. Things just aren't quite the way they were at Bible school. And you know, some people, they'll go days and days and days like this. You know what I mean, young people? I mean, they'll get up in the morning, you know, and they'll have their devotions, and they read, and you just don't get anything out of it, and they get down on their knees and try to pray, and it doesn't go very well, and they go through life like this. They go to church, they see their fellow brothers and sisters. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. Everything's great, just great. But it really isn't very great, is it? Because my conscience is not clear, because I didn't obey that prompting that said something is wrong. You see, young people, when you sense that something is wrong, I promise you, you get down on your knees and say, God, what is wrong? He will tell you. He will tell you very fast. He will tell you because He wants you to walk with Him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. But you know, some people, they'll go for weeks like this. Some of you went for weeks like this, and it didn't open up until last night when you hit the altar. God sent a powerful messenger by, and it shook you to the depths of your feet. And you thought, whoa, I've got to do something about this. And you went forward, and you got everything right, and you broke your heart up here, and everything opened up again. Wow! Beautiful, praise God, hallelujah, God's so good. But dear young people, if you don't get what I'm telling you right now, you'll be right back at that altar again in a devastated, mixed up, confused mess. You'll be right back there if you're not going to make things right and keep on walking. You'll do it all over again. And for some of you, you might have to wait for months before somebody comes by and shakes you real good and you realize, ooh, I can't be living like this. But it would be in the heart of God that you would learn. If you would go from here, young people, I'm telling you, this is as simple as ABC. It is that simple if you will get a hold of it in the depths of your soul. God wants you to walk with Him. God has blessed you this week. God has sanctified your heart. God has made you clear on the inside. God has blessed you beautifully. But I'm telling you, God has done all of it because He's brought you to this place so that you can now learn to walk with Him. That's what Jesus died for, to bring unto Himself a people who will walk with Him, fellowship with Him, live in His presence, know His voice, walk after the promptings of His Spirit, and be blessed and used by God. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing. You must learn to walk in the light. Jesus said these words. He said, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. You know what He's talking about? Walking in the light. You see, there's two ways you can mess up all the things that God has done in your heart this week. You can sin, you can get angry at somebody, you can look where you shouldn't look, young men, you can say something that you shouldn't have said and get a cloud over your conscience, and if you don't want to make it right, you can confuse your whole week. But there's another way that you can confuse it also, and that is simply this. As God brings more light to your life, you have to say, Amen, Lord, Amen. See, God is not going to leave any of us where we are. God keeps taking us on. I'm still saying amen, and I'm 28 years old in the Lord. I still get sat down by God, and God says, what about this, Denny? Now I have to make a decision. What am I going to do with it? Oh, Lord, that's too much for me. I don't think I'm going to do that. Fine, Denny, you just don't do it. How long do you want to not do it, my boy? How long do you want to live like that? Sure, you just don't do it. That's fine. And walk around in a cloud for a while. No, young people. God wants us to walk in the light. To walk in the light is to walk in the light that God gives me. And God always keeps giving more light. And we have to obey. If we obey, beautiful. It just keeps on going. But if we say, nope, not that. No. Now God's patient. He is. Very patient, merciful, loving teacher. But if the bottom line is, I'm not doing that, then you'll lose everything you got in this Bible school. Maybe God comes to your heart and says, I want you to give that boyfriend up. And you say, no. No way. Go ahead. Have your devotions. Pray your empty prayers. Go to the empty assembly. Sit and hear the empty sermon. Blame it on the dry preacher. Amen. Oh, the preacher sure didn't do very well today. That guy. When in reality, it's that guy. Well, I'll close with this. You know, when a baby is learning how to walk, young people, they do fall down sometimes, don't they? But what do when they fall down? Do they lay there for hours or days and wait for someone to come along and set them back on their feet again? How many of you saw a baby do it that way? They don't do that. I mean, that baby, you know, they fall down first. They got to figure out, whoa, I guess I fell down. And the next thing they do, they look around for the nearest piece of furniture and crawl their way over there to that piece of furniture and drag themselves back up on their feet. Why? They want to learn how to walk. That's all I'm telling you, young people. I mean, these are the ABCs, but you have to be willing, like that baby, to say, okay, Lord, I'm willing. I'm going to walk. I'm going to learn to walk, whatever it takes. I'm going to get back up again when things don't go right, when all of a sudden I make a failure, when you bring a circumstance into my life and I don't pass the test, I'm going to make it right and get back up on my feet and start walking again. If you'll just take all of it home, young people, and learn to walk, then you will be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may find yourself living in the promises of that little song we've been singing a few times, but that's all right. Get up. Just get up. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together for prayer. Oh, Father, we praise You this day, God. The beautiful simplicity in Christ Jesus, the simplicity of the Christian life, Father. I thank You, Lord, You made it so simple. The most simple-minded can walk with God. Lord, we just commend all of these young people into Your hands. Teach them how to walk, Lord. Please, Father, teach them how to walk. Don't let them stop. Don't let them settle. Don't let them get satisfied, Lord, until they know they learn to walk with God. Whatever that takes, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.